Well, it's true enough that as we celebrate Christmas, everyone will have a little bit different experience, and not all of you will have the privilege of cookies and carcass. Some will have a different style or form, but we will all celebrate Jesus. That's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. What is Christmas primarily about? What is it not about? And if we're going to stay true to the meaning of Christmas, what's that going to look like in its essence to us? Some will spend a lot of money. Some will spend a little money. Some will be at huge family gatherings. Some will be at homes with one or two people. And whatever the setting looks like for us, it will be important for us to know the essence, because we can have it. We can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate the Christ child in any setting. You could celebrate the Christ child in jail. You could celebrate the Christ child in essence anywhere, if you have that. The setting isn't that important, but the essence is. So let me pray, and we will look at a little bit about what that means. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your grace, for your love over us. You sent your Son, born of a virgin, the man of heaven, for us. We needed you, and you came. So we thank you for that. And I pray now, as we open your word, your holy word, the Bible, Lord, I pray you will work, that your Spirit will speak deep into our soul. In the quietness of our soul, you speak in still, small voices in us. And I pray you'll do that. I pray you will teach us the essence of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Fairly significant verses, very common verses. Follow along as I read. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to tightly. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This passage, we read about it and we focus on him emptying himself, coming here in the form of a servant. I like this where it says he was born in the likeness of men. And I remember back in Genesis where it said he created man in the likeness and image of God. And now it's reversed, that Jesus actually came and was born in the likeness of men. But the point of this passage, as Paul teaches it to this church, is that you should have this mind that Christ had. When Christ came and emptied himself, was born in the likeness of men, you have this mind in yourselves. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interest. You have this mind in Christ. This was Christ's mind when he came to earth. When he was born in the likeness of men, he came to earth with this mind: others are more significant than myself. I'm looking on the interest of you others. Have that mind in you. This passage clearly points out the course that was taken by Jesus Christ. Clearly points out that He came from heaven. He was God's Son. He was God in the flesh. Says that he emptied Himself, though He was in the form of God. He didn't count that something to be grasped or clutched onto. He was God. The course started there. He was God there. But he let go. He opened His hand and He came down here for us, died on a cross, and went back. So the course is clear. He started there, came here, went back there. Guess what? He's coming back again. And we will go again. We'll do that again. We're double dipping. The course is set. He started there and came here. He saw a need, and the cause was very clear here. The cause in this passage is, you needed me. You needed me, and so I let go of my godliness. I counted you more significant than myself, and I came and died for you. Point number one, Christmas, the true essence, the spirit of Christmas, Christmas can't be primarily about ourselves. If we're really going to celebrate Christmas, if we are going to have the mind of Christ when He took on the form of a servant, when He was born in the likeness of men, if we're going to take the words right off this scripture, it can't be about ourselves. It can't be about me and mine. It has to be, I saw a need, and I let go of my godliness, of who I am. I let go of my life, and I came to serve, to meet your need. And that involved dying on a cross eventually and going back. That's the essence of Christmas. And it tells us very clearly, we have this mind in Christ. This is His thinking. That's what this passage says. This is His thinking. This is how He thought. It wasn't any selfish ambition or conceit. He was God, said, okay, I'm just going to let that go for now. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. He came because we needed Him to come. We needed the Savior to come. And He let go of His life in heaven. He let go of His godliness, and He came. Christmas can't primarily be about me and mine, ourselves. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Love this passage. This is one passage. If you want to just read a passage over and over and over and over and over and just start mining out the beauties of this, 1 Corinthians 15 is an amazing place to start. If Christmas can't be primarily about ourselves, me and mine, it can't be. Christmas can't be only about this life only. If your life in Christ is all about this life only, you are of all men most to be pitied. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, and He is, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Some of them, before I read on, some of them just denied the whole miracle of the dead being raised. He doesn't say, how can some of you deny that Jesus was raised? He says, no, you deny that the whole miracle, the whole aspect of a resurrection. If Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say, the dead aren't raised? There is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, well, my preaching is in vain, and your faith is totally in vain. And we, the apostles, the writers of the Scripture, are even found to be lying, misrepresenting God, because they testified about God that He raised Christ, whom he didn't raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is absolutely futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, those Christian friends and parents and family, those who have died in Christ, they're perished. It's just too late. It's gone. Verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people, most to be pitied. Of everyone on this planet, if that's our hope, if everything we live for in Christ is just about here and now, of all people, we're absolutely the most to be pitied. We do have hope. We do have hope. The Christ child did bring hope. It's just not about this life only. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, that's Adam, by a man has come the resurrection of the dead, and that's Jesus. For as in Adam, all die. All are dead in their sins through Adam. Every single man, woman, boy, and girl. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. Each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, Christ first. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, us believers. Then comes the end. Then after that, he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Someday that will happen. Someday he will destroy every rule, every authority, every power. He will hand the kingdom of his believers, of his, he will present it to God, and everything else will be destroyed and punished with everlasting punishment. Verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The hope is not primarily now. Christmas, therefore, can't be only about this life only. If it is, we're actually to be pitied. Our whole focus, our whole point, our whole glory of Christmas can't be focused on those presents under the tree, the lights, even the fellowship, even the great services, even the songs we sing. Everything about the Christ child coming has to point us to a future hope. The essence of Christmas is a future. It's a future. You and I, we try to make the Christian life amazing. You and I try to tell people, we live the best we can for Christ. And we tell people, man, if you just come to Christ, if you'll just come to Christ, let him have this problem. Let him have this addiction. Let him have this family relationship you can't seem to solve. Let him have your life. If you just come to Christ. We try and make it amazing. Oh, the church in America today, I mean, look at us. Look at how cool we are. And it's not. If you're honest with yourself, the Christian life is good, but it's inconsistent at best. Because I pray with you. I pray with you for your problems. I pray with you in your tears. I pray with you for your relationships. I pray with you for that guy at work who's a knucklehead to you because you're a believer. I pray with you, and you know that your life now is good, maybe better, but it is not there yet. It's not finished yet. And whatever greatness, whatever goodness, whatever fun, whatever beauty we have in Christ now, That's not what's waiting for us. It's inconsistent at best. And quite honestly, some people suffer tremendously in this life for their faith. That's a whole misconception. Jesus came, was born, so that our life now would be prosperous and wealthy and healthy. That's a blasphemous gospel. Christmas can't be primarily about this life, or Christ Himself, or Christ Himself made a mockery of it. He only lived in his early 30s and died a cruelest death on the cross. If that's the hope of the gospel, we're of all men most pitied. If it's now, it's not. It's not. Our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is what Paul is writing about right now. Someday, Christ will defeat death. For you. It's defeated. But in Christ, your hope is future. Everything is future. You have a bright future ahead of you. You have an amazing, miraculous future ahead of you. It's not now. Christmas can't be about this life only. Peter wrote it this way. Peter wrote to slaves, and he said, you know what? He said, if you're a slave and your owner is good, well, hallelujah for you. But if you have a cruel owner, if you're a slave to a master who's cruel, you treat that master well. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Blessed are you if you suffer for righteousness' sake. That doesn't sound like that slave's hope is now. Jesus put it this way. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what he said? Because the kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are the persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. Blessed are you. The kingdom of heaven will be yours. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. You'll be comforted. When Jesus hands over the kingdom to the Father, you'll be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those broken in spirit. Kingdom of heaven is yours. You'll be handed to the Father, and you will have the kingdom of heaven. Christmas can't be only about this life. Our Christmas message, our Christmas hope, our Christmas joy has to be He's come. He's come to get us, and He's going to take us with Him and present us to the Father. And however inconsistent this life is, we have a future and a hope, and an amazing, miraculous ending to our story. You don't have to scroll through the internet long looking at Christian articles about Christmas to just find one after another, after another, after another. Some people, Christmas is great, and to others, it's the hardest time of the year if you've just lost a loved one, or it's an anniversary of a loved one, or your marriage has just broke up, or a son or daughter has just committed suicide. Holidays are the worst. It can't be about this life. Our Christmas message cannot be about this life, about now. The beauty of the Christ child coming, the beauty of a virgin birth is He came from there. The man of heaven came to get us and to take us back with Him. And our future is secure and it's sealed and it's magnificent. That's the message of the Christ child. Jesus Jesus didn't speak in terms of this life only. Not at all. I'll follow you, Jesus. I don't even have a place to lay my head. You really want to follow me? Foxes have holes and birds have nests. I don't even have a home. I just come to die for you. I just come to save you. I just come to get you. I come to prepare the way. I'm the first fruits. I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to be the first one back. Oh, you have a future and a hope, and Christmas is grand and glorious and amazing. It's just not about this life, as many of you are suffering even now. But you have a hope. You have a hope above all hopes. You have a future above all futures. You have a future full of miracles. Full of miracles. It's in the future. What is? What does this future look like? Same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Listen to your future. Listen to your future. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of a body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What you sow, and that means what dies, what you sow is not the body that you're going to have. It's a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some grain, but God gives it a body as He has chosen. And to each kind of a seed, He gives it its own body. Not all flesh is of the same, but there's one kind of flesh for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind and the glory of the earthly is another. There's a glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of stars. The stars differ from star in glory. Listen, here's your future. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown, what dies is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It is sown, we die in weakness, but we're raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, everybody here has a natural body, raise your hand. Yeah, you do. Okay, good. You do. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Thus it is written. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man, listen, verse 47, the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, he's from heaven. He's from heaven. He's the man of heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. As is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. That's our future. It's the man of heaven. He was born of a virgin. He came from heaven. And He secures us and He grabs us and there's a glory for us. You will be changed. If you have a natural body, your future, the glory of the coming of the man of heaven is to say, I have come down and gone back up and you will be changed like me. Some people say that this coming kingdom, this coming heaven is really just going to be here on earth. He's going to come. He's going to set it up and rule it. It's going to be here and now. It's not. This passage says it can't be earth as you know it. You're all going to be changed. You are going to have an immortal spiritual body. Listen to how you die. Did you hear the words? You die, it's perishable. You die in dishonor. We die in weakness. We're frail. I've watched a number of people die. I've visited with them hours before their passing. They're perishable. I watch them shut down. I've watched their body go from hulking strength, strong people, to weak, fragile men lying in a bed in dishonor. They die in dishonor. I'm sure they're humiliated, and if they could get up and leave, they would. People looking at them half-dressed and bruised from top to bottom from needles and pins and marks, and it's just dishonorable. But listen to how we're raised. We're raised immortal. We're raised in glory. We're raised in power. We're raised that way. It's a future for us. The man of heaven came and he died and he went to heaven and he said, "You're coming with me." That's the glory of this Christmas. I'm not a man of the dust. I'm not a man made from earth like Adam. I'm the man of heaven. I've come to get you. I've come to take you with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In the glory of Christmas, we will bear his image. He's gone ahead of us. We will bear the image of the man of heaven. Verse 50. I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If anyone ever tells you the kingdom of God or heaven is just going to be here, Jesus coming down, things are going to get better, we're going to usher in the kingdom of heaven here, a kingdom, they're lying to you. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Every man, woman, and child in this room will be changed. You'll be given an immortal body. You'll be handed over with the kingdom, or you will be his enemy, put under his feet forever with an immortal body. Verse 53. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Christmas is thanks be to God. Jesus, the man of heaven, came down for us. He is not mere mortal. He took on flesh and blood. He was made in the likeness of men. He came down because we needed him. He let go of everything he had, and he came here for a short time to die for us because he loved us, and he's going back, and we beat death in Christ. You and I beat death. Death is done. Death is over. That's the glory of Christmas. The man of heaven has come down and beat death. The man of heaven came down and rose from the dead. He said, "You're coming with me." We beat death. I don't know how sick you are today. I don't know how old you are today. It doesn't matter. You beat death. It's an amazing thing. It's the glory, Christmas glory of death being defeated by the man of heaven. There's no glory. There's no glory in a present. I don't care if they buy you a Maserati. I don't care if they buy you a house. I don't care what she buys you. I don't care what he gives you. There is no glory in any present that'll even compare to the glory of you and I beating death because the man of heaven came down. Amanda and Kathy lost their grandma the other day, just a day or two ago. Amy, 2 days ago, a couple days ago, lost their grandma. I'm going to sit here to tell you, she beat death. I know her. She's a believer. The woman beat death. That's the glory of the man of heaven. Somebody just beat death. Another one just beat death. That's the glory. You have it. It doesn't matter if you die at 15 or 55 or 105. You beat death. That's an amazing present. That's an amazing gift. The glory of Christmas. It's not in all that glitter. It's not in the candy. It's not in the cookies and the carcass. The glory is the glorious death has been defeated by the man of heaven. He rose because he came from there. Makes total sense now. He came from there, so he rose so he could go back. Glory of the death being defeated. There's one more. It's the glory of defeat being put to death. If death was defeated, defeat was also put to death. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brother. So he's summing up this whole thing. He's summing up this whole teaching. I've just read to you most of chapter 15. And this is where he ends up. This is what he says. Therefore, since this is going to happen, since you win in Christ, you beat death, you get his image, you're immortal, you're powerful, you're raised in an amazing way because the man of heaven brought you that gift. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Be persistent. Be consistent. Be steadfast. Just stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back away. Stay with this. Stay with the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Keep going. Don't give up. I know you're tired. I know you're beat up. Don't give up. Be persistent. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be immovable. This one strikes a chord with me. This one bothers me. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be immovable. Why? Therefore, because you're going to heaven. You're going to be in His image. You're going to be immortal. You beat death. Jesus Christ, the man of heaven, came to give us that present. I'm going to die on the cross for you. Pay the penalty, raise you up, immortal, powerful, glorious, he says. Therefore, with that in mind, be immovable. Be immovable. Oh, that one bothers me. You know why? Because I'm looking across the face of Christianity today, in our country anyway, and people are moving all over the place. Christians are moving sideways, backwards. They are not staying the course. They are not staying online with the Scriptures, with the man of heaven, with the hope. They're backing up, man. Oh, I don't believe that way no more. Oh, I don't know about that anymore. Oh, I'm going this way. Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. 2,000 years. Well, I think I'm over here now. I'm not sure where I'm at. We're moving all over the place. Be immovable. Here, here. Stay here. Stay right here. There's glorious hope for you. Glorious place in heaven for you. The image of Jesus Christ is yours. You beat death. Don't move. Don't move. Why would you move from that? Why would anybody move from that? That's crazy. Be steadfast. Don't you quit. Don't you back up. Don't you move out. You get in the program and you go. Why? Because there's so much waiting for you. There is miracle upon miracle upon miracle. Every natural body I'm look at will be changed. You will become immortal. Don't you move away from Jesus Christ. Don't you back up on the truth. You stay right there. The church, the country, the world can move, can change. Don't move. Stay right there. The man of heaven has brought you an amazing gift. He's promising you a future. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Anything you do in the Lord is not in vain. Their grandma, it was nothing she did for the Lord was in vain. Right now, she is just sitting around a Christmas tree with presents piled up to the sky in her new image, in power, immortal, eating bluegills, as I know her. None of it was in vain. None of it was in vain. Because he raised her from the dead. The man of heaven, he came and he's taken us back. So be always, 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 every day, every hour, every moment, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. What in the world does abounding mean? I have not used that word in a sentence except to read the Bible to you for 100 years. What does that mean? I will show you exactly what it means. Because it's right here in chapter 14. That's easy. What does abounding mean? Chapter 14. Chapter 14. Okay. Verse 12. So with yourselves, since you're so eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Let me put it this way. Strive to abound in building up the church. It's the same word. Do you know what it means? It means to excel. Therefore, because the man of heaven came to earth, was born, took on the likeness of a human being, died on a cross for you, and now says, I'm going to raise you next with my image, my power, and my glory. I'm going to present you to my Father. Therefore, don't move. Be persistent, consistent. Don't back up. Don't go sideways. You stay with me. You go forward in the Word of God, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Whatever you do, whatever you've done, whatever you did in the Lord and someone just threw it back in your face, whatever you did and it cost you dearly, people don't like you now, you lost a job over it, whatever it is that you did in the Lord and you feel like I'm defeated, I'm unappreciated, defeat's been put to death. Defeat's been put to death. Because your labor's not in vain in the Lord. You keep right on striving to excel, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never in vain. You'll be raised. You'll be raised immortal in the glorious image of Jesus Christ. That's the gift He's given us. People here may not understand your radical nature for Jesus Christ. People may not understand your radical view that you believe this Bible literally, you read this thing and you're trying to, are you kidding me? People may not understand you, but your labor is never in vain. Defeat has been put to death in the Lord, in the Lord. The Corinthian church that Paul writes to, they must have been a whole church full of Ebenezer Scrooges. That's the only thing I can figure. There must have been no Christmas spirit here, because if you read through this book of Corinthians, you clearly see they were living for this life. I mean, there was sexual immorality, there was things about money, they were suing each other. I mean, you just go through the book of 1 Corinthians. These people were living for the moment. You know it's bad. You know it's bad when Paul writes 16 chapters to your church and he gets to chapter 15, he's landing the plane and he presents the gospel again. You know it's bad when he says, let me share the gospel to you that I shared with you on day one, just in case you believed in vain. You believed with nothing in your heart. You know this church is bad. They are so messed up living for this life only that he says, you're of all men most to be pitied. So let me share the gospel with you again, just in case you missed it the first time. That's how chapter 15 begins. You know this church is pretty earthly minded. And then he shares the hope and the glory of what they have in Christ. He tells them, there's a course. There's a course. He came down, he died, he rose again. He says, you're coming next with me. There's a cause. The Christmas cause. It can't be about me. It can't be about us. It can't be about me and mine. There's a new glory that waits you and I. There's a new image that waits you and I. There's a joy and a victory over death unparalleled by any present I'm ever. And I am absolutely positive my wife spent the wad and bought me some amazing present. I know you did, baby. I have a better present. I know I do. I mean, this is going to be good. But it won't compare. It's not going to compare. When you bury me, and someday you will bury me, you party over me. Please party over me. I am going immortal now. Are you with me? I am going in Jesus' image, power there. You party over me. You have a hymn sing. You have karaoke. You eat some food over me. You drink coffee over me. You bring in a coffee bar over me. There is nothing for you to cry when I die. There is nothing. I've received a gift. Jesus Christ, the man of heaven, brought and died and paid for it. He paid for it. It wasn't a credit card. He paid for it with his life. It's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift. You have it. I have it. There's a victory over death. There's a gift called salvation by faith. Even yet, there's a Savior. There's a man that I know. It's the man of heaven. His name is Jesus. I talk to him every day. He came. He died. He said, you're coming back with me someday, but until then, you can talk with me every day. I love you. Keep striving. Keep excelling what you do for me. There's a Christmas tree in heaven. I got presents all over it. Miracles everywhere for you. If you have Jesus, you have a miracle. And there's so many more waiting for you. So many more. That's what the essence of Christmas is about. That's what the essence of it's all about. You and I can never let it be about this life. Never let it be about me and mine. Everything about Christmas points there. I promise you, he died for every man in this room, every woman and every child in this church today. He's offered you that gift. It's the gift of Jesus Christ himself. He's amazing. I hope you've received him as your Savior. I hope you've prayed and said, Lord Jesus, take me with you. That's all the man on the cross said. When you enter your paradise today, remember me. And he said, you're going with me, son. You're coming off this cross and you're coming with me. That's all he said. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's all you need to say. Jesus, I get it. You're the man of heaven, and I want to go with you. I'll follow. I won't move. I won't quit. I won't give up. I'm going to excel. I'm going to excel at everything I do for you. Just take me with you to your paradise. Remember me when you get to paradise. He says, cha-ching. Going to prepare a place for you. I got gifts under the tree you won't imagine. I've got immortality waiting for you and glory waiting for you and power just waiting for you. It's not about this life. This life's inconsistent, isn't it? This life's really inconsistent. There's hurt. There's hurt around every corner. Junk around every corner. Me and you just keep going. We just keep going. Man, immortality waits for you because of a virgin born man of heaven. That's pretty cool. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Jesus. We celebrate you this week. We've been thinking about you and celebrating you. And now we glory in you. You've given us things beyond this planet. You wait for us in glory and immortality and power. Lord, we're so afraid of death right now, and we're going to beat it. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for that virgin-born man of heaven. We honor you. We love you. You're our Savior. If there's anyone in this room, Lord, if there's anyone here right now who doesn't know this, Lord, will you fill their heart with yourself right now? Lord, will you move their mind and their heart to cry out to you? You're the best gift of all, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.